Hi, this is Martha with Animal World's tips for summer, which realistically are probably better labeled summer warnings and precautions. Now, you can't really argue with the fact that summer is a great time of year. With the warm weather and longer days, we spend a lot more time outdoors, and for many of us, much of that time is spent in the garden. Well, if you love your garden and there are animals in your family, there are a few things to be aware of. Most of us know that fertilizers, weed killers, pesticides, and insecticides can be very toxic for our dogs and cats. Fortunately, these days, there are many safe, non-toxic alternatives that are actually better for our environment as well as our animal friends. I hope you'll take the time to find and use them. Hopefully, you also know that traditional slug baits, especially the powdered stuff, is not only highly toxic and will kill dogs and cats, it is also very attractive to them. Slug bait tastes like candy to our dog and cat friends, and most will work hard to get to it. So please be very careful about using and storing it, or better yet, don't even buy that stuff. Now, something you may not know, and I say that because I didn't know until recently, there is a cocoa mulch being sold in our area at familiar stores that is very toxic to animals. It contains theobromine, the same chemical found in chocolate that is poison to dogs and cats. Now, maybe you know about all these things already and would never keep them around your house or use them in your yard. But what about your neighbors? Because you never know what others are doing, I recommend you do not allow your dogs off-leash to run through neighbors' yards as you walk through the neighborhood. Not only is keeping them on-leash the right thing to do, it also could save their life. Another potential poison for our animal friends is antifreeze. It also tastes like candy to them, and they are highly attracted to it, and unfortunately, it kills quickly. So if you do your own radiator servicing, please be careful handling the antifreeze. After draining, dispose of the contents immediately and responsibly. If you spill any, clean it up right away. Better yet, don't mess with the bad stuff. Spend a little more and use the safe, non-toxic antifreeze. Another summer FYI, mostly for your cat friends, especially those that like to chew on plants. You probably know that some houseplants are toxic, but did you know that some flowers are too? Unfortunate but true, one of my personal favorites comes to mind, lilies. I have them in the yard, but not in my house. If you want more information or a list of toxic plants and flowers, the ASPCA website at www.aspca.org is where to get it. Also, in case of emergency, write this number down, the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, 888-426-4435. That's 888-426-4435. Write it down and post it someplace prominent. Finally, what we love the most about summer, the sun, is probably the biggest potential hazard for our animals, especially our dogs. Heat prostration or heat stroke takes the lives of many dogs every summer because their humans aren't thinking. Because dogs have a higher body temperature to begin with and cannot sweat off heat like humans, they can seriously overheat much faster than you might think. On a 70-degree day, a car left in the sun, even with windows partially open, can reach a deadly temperature for a dog in only 10 minutes. So my general rule of thumb during the summer, unless you are sure you can park undercover or in the shade, leave the dog at home. Remember, the sun moves, so just because you park in the shade does not mean the car will remain shaded. You will need to check on the car and dog frequently. I suggest every 10 minutes. Now, there may be times that you have no choice but to take your dog with you in the car during hot weather. If that's the case, be wise and be prepared. Take water and a bowl with you, a leash and collar so you can take the dog with you if necessary when you leave the car. And just in case you can't take the dog with you, say you're going into a restaurant, have a crate along. There are collapsible models for easy storage in the car. You can crate the dog in the shade outside of the car. Dogs and other animals can also overheat in a house if they're confined in front of a window and the sun comes through. So pay attention on this one if you're confining a puppy or caring for an elderly, sick, or convalescing animal. Sadly, I had a client years ago that left a paralyzed dog resting comfortably in front of a closed sliding glass door. When the sun came out, the dog could not move away from the window, and when the owner came home, the dog was dead. Please don't let this happen to one of your animal friends, and remember the same is true for birds, small caged animals, and fish. Also, avoid overexerting your animal in hot weather. Exercise is fine when taken in moderation, but obesity, old age, underlying disease, and previous bouts of heat stroke can predispose an animal to the condition. And remember, some dogs don't know when to quit, so you may need to be the wise one and stop the game for rest and cooling off periods. I hope you never need this information, but if you ever find a dog in an overheating situation, here are the important things to do and remember. Be careful and remember to breathe and stay as calm as possible when you handle the animal, especially if they do not know you, as they may be in shock and could bite. Cool them down as soon as possible. Get them into a cooler, well-ventilated area if available. You can put them into a stream or a lake or a bathtub of cool water. Hose them down or soak towels in cold water to lay over them. The biggest danger is the brain overheating, so if resources are limited, put a cold, wet towel on their head first. Call your vet or emergency clinic to let them know you're on the way and get your animal friend there for treatment as soon as possible. Pet owners can be held criminally liable for committing cruelty to animals if a pet dies or is found suffering from heat prostration. If you see an animal that may be in need of assistance, or if you have questions about this kind of situation, you can call the Seattle Animal Shelter at 206-386-PETS. That's 206-386-PETS. Okay, that's it, I hope. What you need to know to keep your animal friends safe this summer. Stay with me now, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions or the links that you need to stream the show. And it's the second Sunday of the month. That means it's a Robin and Martha Sunday, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. I just want to remind you that because it's a Robin and Martha Sunday, we are entertaining your email questions. If they can be behavior training or healing questions, or ask us to tune into an animal situation around the world that you want to know what the animals have to say and the lessons are, whatever, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And if your questions have broad interest, then we will deal with them just like we are in this reincarnation question. So animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Also want to remind you that we've got our Missing Link giveaway coming up in the show. When you hear the live Missing Link commercial, I'll give you the Missing Link word of the day, and then you pick up your phone and call, and you win a free month's supply of the Missing Link for your dog or cat friend. And the local number is 425-373-5527, and toll free is 888-298-5569. All right, so we finished up the last hour with an email question. Do dogs always come back as dogs, related to reincarnation, of course, and cats as cats? How does that work? So I think we kind of covered the bases on that, Robin. Is there anything else that you want to say about the reincarnation stuff in animals?
No, I think we gave people plenty of things to ponder. But I did want to ask you a question, and I know the show's really packed, so maybe I should just ask you right now. Well, we've been noticing here between our household and other households that the animals are acting very strange. They're not eating like they normally do. They seem to be getting sick to their tummies. They are sleeping a real lot. They've got kind of a clouded look in their eyes. And I was wondering, some people have said when the animals act kind of strange that sometimes they're picking up on potential earth changes. Is there validity to that?
Well, I certainly think there is. I think our animals often are way more in tune to stuff than we are. I mean, they don't have a left brain intellect that messes them up with all kinds of stuff, you know, they are much better at feeling and sensing. Well, I mean, and the examples that are coming to mind are, remember the tsunamis. Remember the big scene that the elephants all ran away? They knew to get to higher ground, and they knew it before the tsunami came in. They were on their way. And then there was, I saw a little documentary film on YouTube. I don't know what it was, but recently where an elephant carried a little girl away from a tsunami. And so animals know these things. Often you will see animals flee an area before a fire comes in and so forth. Sometimes they can't. But they do. I remember a case that I consulted on years ago with someone in California who called me because she had two Springer Spaniels, I think, and all of a sudden one day they just went, they had been nice, mellow, normal dogs, and then they just went ape gooey crazy and started trying to chew and dig out of the house. And they did this for like a whole day, a day or two, and so she was calling me to find out what had gone on. And so in questioning her and going to the history, well, they did this the day before the big earthquake. It was like, of course, they were sensing the earthquake and they needed to get the heck out of Dodge, and so. With what you were describing, Robin, I don't know if you're getting anything that what they're picking up on. I was just trying to think. I don't necessarily see any of my animals. I don't see a generality of my animals all behaving differently than they normally do. Of course, you know, the majority, five of my six cats are, you know, young, and so their behavior's changing a lot as they grow and mature, and also as we stabilize the Pleckner syndrome with them and all of that. But I guess looking at old G-Man, who's on his way to 16, his behavior's not changed any. So okay. I don't know if it's all in the same area.
It's all Mount Shasta animals.
Then, if it's all Mount Shasta animals, then I don't think you do either, but I don't believe in coincidence. You know,
right.
Everything happens for a reason. So if all the animals are behaving in a way, they must be picking up on something. And sometimes if it's just a particular animal, they might be reacting to what's going on with their human or so forth. You know, I mean, animals can sense, they can smell cancers, they can just feel seizures and all kinds of stuff that go on with us physically. But they also animals sometimes alert their owners to gas leaks and all kinds of things. They pick up on all kinds of stuff. But if you're seeing a generality of all the animals in Mount Shasta, well, I don't know. I thought, is Mount Shasta a volcano? But I think you would have some warning if something like that was going to happen. But, you know, an earthquake or some kind of earth changes. I don't know. Are you getting any specifics on this?
No, I'm not, and which is kind of unusual, too, because I will frequently be given information psychically, even if it's in Chile or, you know, another country.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
That's
I mean, I just usually vibe right into it. But one of the things you spoke of was the animal trying to claw their way out. One of the dogs, that's what he's doing, is he's trying to claw his way out of wherever they put him. So it's kind of interesting what's going on.
We'd have to look at that animal now. Is that a dog that has always been comfortable and stable and never had any separation anxiety or household destruction issues, and then all of a sudden is behaving this way? Or is
that
this
is
a
correct.
New dog? Or so it's an all of a sudden he's behaving this way.
Yeah, he's clearly trying to communicate something.
And, well, the first thing I would, if he's trying, I would make sure that particular physical environment, that they don't have a gas leak or there's something going on in that particular house or physical environment. But if we're seeing, then if it's more generalized things and lots of animals behaving, then the story that I remembered was, of course, those two earthquake dogs in California that were trying to break out. And it was the 2 days before the actual earthquake happened.
All right. Well, we'll check. I actually had forgotten all of those stories, so I'm really glad that you brought them to my mind again, because I wasn't making that intuitive leap. I was just sort of going, So,
well,
okay,
you know, again, I just go back to there are no coincidences.
Right.
There's something going on. And I would say, Robin, you are one of the most gifted of anyone I know of being able to tune in to other energies and getting intuitive information and being able to see things. And if you're not getting anything,
no,
I would say, well, it's either I would again say there's probably no coincidence for that. You're not seeing it or feeling it or being warned about it because you're not supposed to be.
Exactly.
So it's either something you all got to go through.
Right.
And because if you were supposed to know about it and warn people, you would know.
Yes, that's
true. Doesn't that? So
a lot of it sometimes
is trust the process. Sometimes when you're very gifted, no matter how gifted you are, if you are personally involved, you're so emotionally involved in that, you know, that's why I clarify things with you. You clarify with me. We both clarify with Kim Miller. Because sometimes you're just so close to the situation, you're not accurate, or
right.
You may not be accurate. Kathy, did you want to chime in?
Well, you know, I think I've heard somewhere that some earthquake tremors could be happening that we're just not even feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
But they can. So yeah. It may not be any big, huge, horrible disaster on its way, but maybe it's just something really simple that they're...
Yeah, you know, that's what I should do. I should go online and look up earthquakes in the Mount Shasta area and see. Maybe they are. Maybe there's a different sequencing of them that isn't normally occurring. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Or it's just, we're just not feeling, or you're just not feeling. It's just something simple and small.
But generally, if there's some kind of you know, earth disaster, something like happening, the animals... What? Go ahead, just say it.
Could there be a full moon? Is that?
Yeah,
is that
we
what's
did
going
just
on?
Have a full moon.
Well,
that's
I wonder if
true.
That had something to do with it too.
Yeah, the energies are always more, you know, amplified at that time. But if there's something going on, like an earthquake or tsunami or something along those lines, I mean, the animals.
Here comes Bob. He's listening to the show. He's got something to say.
Well, that felt like the earth moved, didn't
it? Yeah,
it
really
hurt
the ears.
Didn't that sound like the earth moved?
We could hear you
did.
Coming, Bob.
Yeah, we could. Whoa.
Putting on the headset.
Whoa.
At least I'm not running the microwave.
Oh, okay. But you are moving the earth, boy.
Well, hopefully I at least move Robin's earth.
Yeah.
Anyway, could it be that it was around 4th of July?
Oh, that's probably what it was. There were like 20,000
people
in town.
Well, now, see, there's another rule called the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah,
or
that's definitely...
I change it to keep it simple spiritually. Yeah, now, was this all around the 4th of July?
It was.
Did you guys have, in Mount Shasta, is there a lot of...
Huge.
Fireworks and all that
Massive.
Sort of stuff?
That's got to be what
it was.
Well,
hello.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, and here we are making such a big deal. Okay, well, you know, I mean, they still react all kinds of stuff. It's a good subject, but
yeah.
See, that's another message of how easy is it to miss the simple stuff.
Yeah, that was
keep
good.
It simple.
Well, that's why I was trying to mention something about just small little tremors.
Full moon, right.
I didn't want any panic going on out there.
Right, right. But it has been, of course, 4th of July. And if Mount Shasta is a big...
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, the other lesson might be, and oh, gosh, and I do, yeah. Mm, I have, taking us to animals in the news. Because there's a new, little news story that relates to this, because what I was going to say is when all the animals are being affected that way, don't you think maybe we ought to listen to the message that maybe it's time to let go of this whole fireworks business?
You know, we look at them every year and we think, gosh, they're pretty, but with all the people who are hungry and homeless in this country,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing the amount of money that gets spent on that.
And did you see that one story where was it that the fireworks all went off at the same time? There was a computer glitch. And so, you know, probably hundreds and thousands of dollars at once went off and it flew.
Wow.
It usually happens somewhere once a year. But I totally agree with Robin. As an example, the Family Fourth here in Seattle, which is a really cool thing. Everybody comes down to the park and... That's great. But they spend over $1 million,
yeah.
And cities spend more. But $1 million for about 15, 20 minutes of entertainment. And
yeah.
That money could
and
be
how
used
much, how much good could
elsewhere.
That do?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And of course, our humanness, and I would say because the Lake Union display is one of the best in the world in terms of the different kinds of fireworks that are used and the creations in the sky and then the choreography with the music. It is one of the best displays ever. But on the other hand, how much good could that $1 million do? Now, the news story I pulled out, this is one of the good news things. Concern over eagles douses fireworks show. And I put this in the good news.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Narrowsburg, New York. Concerns over the welfare of bald eagles have led a town in southeastern New York to cancel its July 4th fireworks display. The hamlet of Narrowsburg, which bills itself as the state's bald eagle capital, hosts an annual eagle fest to celebrate the eagles that nest along the Delaware River. Narrowsburg Fire Department puts on fireworks for the annual 4th of July celebration. The Times Herald Record of Middletown reported that last year some baby eagles left their nest, possibly startled by the pyrotechnics. The fireworks were canceled this year after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department indicated that the fire department could be liable for thousands of dollars in fines if eagles are harmed.
Wow, that's
so
wow.
That, see, they did the right thing by the eagles. Now, how many ticked off people do you think there are? Yes, Mike?
If I could add, I believe it was Depot Bay on the coast of Oregon, mm-hmm. also canceled their 4th of July fireworks due to some nesting migrant birds, and I'm not sure what the species was. But
so we won't cancel them to feed hungry children in America, but we will cancel them to save the birds. So that is
that's a move in the right direction.
It is.
We got some work to do.
And I have to say, I being one of the most goofiest about fireworks on the planet, older I get, I mean, the younger I was, the more excited I got about them. And I just absolutely just thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. But once again, as I got older, as my heart opens, as I become more spiritual than practical, for me, it's a spiritual thing, and it's about being good to the earth and to the animals. And also, it's back to that, taking care of everybody. I'd rather that $1 million goes to care and feed those that can't care and feed for themselves, and what, you know, humans as well as animals.
Well, maybe that was the message of the animals here, that on July 3rd was the full moon, July 4th was the fireworks, and the fireworks here in Mount Shasta, it's the biggest event of the year. People come from all over the world to be here. It's really beautiful what the whole town offers,
mm-hmm.
But no wonder the animals were upset. So they're upset on many, many levels, as evidently we are too.
Yep. All right, so let's see. Okay, let's right off the bat, let's go into some news stuff here, because we got a lot of stuff to look at. I mean, I had to read this, and I just wrote down, what? So, Robin, as I read this little clip, I want you to tune in. This is about beluga. It's the headline, Beluga Bonanza. The Georgia Aquarium has applied for a permit to bring 18 beluga whales into the country. Now, I'm not sure. Where would you get eight? Wouldn't you have to take them out of the wild? I'm not sure. But it says 18 beluga whales into the country to be housed in aquariums and zoological parks at locations around the country to improve the genetic diversity of belugas in captivity in this country, which in turn would make the beluga population more stable. There are 34 belugas in human care in the U.S., including four at the Georgia Aquarium. Now, unfortunately, there's not enough information. It doesn't say, well, where would these 18 beluga whales come from? Now, I suppose maybe they're coming from other aquariums around the world, but I'm kind of thinking they're applying to get 18 wild belugas to bring them in. And I'm questioning, do we really need to be doing that? I mean, what do you feel as I read that, Robin? What are you getting?
Well, I feel like the beluga whales are offering a message. And what they're saying is that if we don't take care of the health of the ocean, there's not going to be any breed of whale.
Mm.
So they're bringing us back to what's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hello?
Yeah, we're spending all this money trying to improve the genetic diversity. And then again, that's where the aquariums and the zoos encourage themselves to continue the work they're doing in an effort to save these animals. But what's the point of saving them if they have no habitat left?
Exactly.
So shouldn't we be putting this energy into healing the oceans and the waters and getting over our need to kill each other and stop the sonar and all of that sort of stuff and clean up our act? All right. You heard it here first.
You go, Martha.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. It's just the lack of common sense. It's like hard to wrap your head around.
Okay, now here's another one. Now this you could be on either side. There's two sides of this fence, folks. And it's controversial to say the least. But Robin, you tune in. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I have Robin tune in is because she's so gifted at this, and I have to stay so much in my left brain to keep the radio show going and on schedule and on time but I found when Robin opens the energy, I can follow her into it. Okay, but this is just what's so. But anyway, I read this one. It's like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about this one. Okay, here it is. There's a picture of a woman with a long-haired black cat on her shoulder. It says, "Catastrophe averted." Diane Maxwell of Missouri heads home with Boots, a cat that became famous after being saved from death row with a little help from an official at Fifth Third Bank in Chicago and a probate court judge. The will of the cat's late owner stipulated that any pets be euthanized. 27 people applied to adopt the female, or the feline. So that implies that the probate court judge overrode the person's will, because the person obviously, when they died, wanted the cat euthanized. Well, and they'll say, so given the discussion we all just had about reincarnation, realizing it's only the physical body that dies, the soul's eternal. And I'm sure that the desire on the part of the deceased human was that her cat then or animal not be abused or bounced around or whatever and be sent with them when they left their body. So is it okay for the judge and for everybody to up in arms and override that? What do you all think about that? And, Robin, what are you getting?
Well, first of all, I did receive from the deceased owner that the owner was looking out for the animal's best interest. And I can see the spirit of the person on the other side is crying. And
So they're not okay with the fact that the cat was rehomed?
Well,
or
I'm not
are
sure.
They?
I'm not sure if that's what it is. I think. Well, actually, the person has their arms out and open, like they can't. They feel like they can't go forward, because they don't know what happened to the cat. You know, there's like it's keeping them stuck. So, does it state the name of the owner in that article?
It does not.
Okay, because let's just see if we can find the vibration of the owner enough to be able to communicate what
it doesn't
ended
even
up
say
happening.
If the owner was male or female.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting
but I'm
a
getting
read.
That it was female.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying. Okay, we're starting to make some contact.
And Boots is the cat. Maybe Boots can tell us.
Yeah, oh, that's much better.
Boots
okay.
is a long-haired black cat.
Yeah. Well, Boots is telling me that Boots would have preferred to have gone with its owner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got when I read this. As hard as it was to get, that's what I got.
Yeah. Boots is doing well where Boots is. And now the spirit of the owner on the other side is not crying as hard as she was before. We're letting her know what happened. And let's
see, on a higher perspective, and I'll say this as higher, because I mean spiritual. See, even if it's a normal, healthy cat, it's only the physical body that dies. This is the movie or the drama here on Earth. Real life is in spirit. And with the human soul on the other side, this cat being humanely euthanized, the soul, they get to be together. They do what they're doing where they're doing, and there really isn't anything wrong or bad there, okay? And you know, if we start, I'm just getting the whole bigger picture here. If you override this part of a will, what else can you override? And what, you know, what's the, I don't know. It just didn't feel right to me.
Well, it feels to me like our bodies kind of are on loan, and then we drop them, and we can get another one. And however our soul needs to experience, it will come into whatever form it needs to come into. But what I'm doing is I'm showing the spirit of the owner where Boots is, and I feel them having some sort of communication. It's not real smooth, though. So I'm not going to pretend that that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But at least there's some communication that's going on. And the owner, the previous owner, is telling me that she's not leaving without that cat. So she's just going to be around that cat with wherever that cat is. And
well,
they'll have to deal
Diane
with it.
Maybe Maxwell of Missouri, who took Boots home, maybe she's going to have a ghost experience in her home for a while. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall for that one? Anyway,
yeah.
I just.
Well, the good part of it is people are showing up to love the animals, and you know, there's all movement here.
Yeah. But it had occurred to me. You know, looking at my household of all my kitties, and especially even though the younger ones, if some, you know, they all are Pluckner cats, they all need daily meds and need to be monitored and all of that, and it costs money and all that sort of stuff. And what if I just, you know, left? I mean, would it be better? They could all go with me. But with something like this, I couldn't even make sure that would happen. Otherwise, they all have to move in with Robin.
Yeah, I thought.
And then Bob might move out.
Let's see if that brings Bob back to the bike.
Bob, let's see if the earth moves again.
Yeah, see if the earth moves again. Well, you know, there was a person here, a 90-year-old woman, who had six cats, and she passed away. And the six cats have been in a secondhand store here looking for a home. And two of the cats over the past month have gone to homes. But the other cats are so depressed. I go in and talk to them, but they're like just besides themselves. You know, it's like heart-wrenching.
Yeah. So you see, so for my understanding and for where I am, I don't have an issue with euthanizing animals to go on with the human. And in fact, I combined when my dad passed. Put the ashes of his beloved kitty with his ashes, and they're all in the church. So,
I was recently speaking to someone who runs a funeral home, and he said that happens far more commonly than people realize, that animals are buried in the caskets or with the cremation of their owners.
Yeah. All right. So we intersperse a little good news here.
Yeah.
If you were here last week, Peg sent us an alert. Remember the at Wimbledon, the anti-pigeon hawk that at Wimbledon, you know, the tennis tournaments, Robin. You can imagine what would happen during the tennis tournaments if there were a whole bunch of pigeons running around and pooping on the tennis courts. So they hire this gal and her hawk, who has been trained to fly around and not to kill the pigeons, just to fly around and chase them away so they aren't pooping on the tennis court. And so the hawk was left in his box in a car, and because it was warm, the windows were down, somebody stole the hawk in his box.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that was last week. That was Rufus. He was a Harris hawk. Now I've got beautiful pictures of Rufus here that he has been found, that he is safe and well, and he was handed into an office of the National Animal Charity RSPCA in Putney, southwest of London, and is back with his owners. So the good news is that Rufus was found and is back with his owner and can go back to work. But
wow.
You know, I just had to wonder, who the heck steals a hawk? Criminy sakes.
Do you remember the plastic owls that they used to put up on bridges?
They still do.
Yeah, I haven't seen them around lately, but owls used to get a kick out of that.
Well, and have
they
you
didn't
been
work.
Into, no, well, sometimes it does, but, you know, I mean, birds aren't that stupid. After a while, they figure out it doesn't move.
I have a picture, not handy, but of an owl on one of the older I-90 bridges with a couple of pigeons roosting on his head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
classic.
Now, have you been into some of the larger warehouses now these days? They haven't. The new thing is that they have actual recordings of hawks shrieking.
Yep.
And so they play the recordings inside the buildings.
I think that sounds
that
cool.
And that keeps the birds
like
out. Yeah, but that does keep them out because it's real bird sounds.
I was at the Muckleteel Ferry the other day, and they had that. Birds would start flying around, and that sound would just go right off in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the birds. Ooh, yeah. And I, for the first time, and maybe it's because I'm out in the evenings now because it's lighter, and I'm spreading all that mulch. But I heard an owl. And very close to me last night. And it wasn't dark yet, but it was hooting.
That's what they do. What kind of owl do you suppose it might have been?
Well,
owls are cool. I really like owls.
I love owls.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
We have bats here too that swoop around at night and eat the bugs.
I was hoping, I like bats too. And I had bats at the farm. I haven't seen any bats in my backyard. I had to go buy deer repellent. Actually, hopefully Chris is not listening. because I realize it's taken 2.5 years, but the deer finally found my roses. Because I brought my roses and pots. And I never could figure out why I couldn't grow roses at the farm. I just thought, well, it was similar. I thought, you know, they're full sun and I front and all of this, but they just would never get above about a foot high. I couldn't figure out. And now I realize that the deer snuck in every night and ate them. And I didn't realize that for all those years. Well, when I saw a deer on the other side of my yard one day, a couple months ago or so, I thought, okay. Well, and now it's because I'm remulching my terrace, I found deer hooves. And I was wondering why the roses just, you know, they'd taken off and there were all these buds on them and they were doing really good. And then all of a sudden they're not doing so good. And it looks like half of them are sort of like gone. And then I saw deer prints in the terrace, so they're coming over and hanging over and eating my roses. So before, I didn't have any deer repellent. And I always read that if you put scented soap, you know, hung that on the or put them out there. Well, I have this big basket of soap that my friend Krista made because it's beautiful, wonderful soap that I bought from an auction, charity auction, a fundraising for the temple, actually. And so I thought of that. Well, I'll go get deer repellent tomorrow, but in the meantime, I don't want to eat the rest of my roses tonight now that they found them. So I went and I put bars of Crista's soap out in my roses, and I'll be darned, they left them alone that night. Now, and the soap did not suffer because it's not raining or anything, and so my soap is just fine. But the deer stayed away, and I got this, you know, spray on deer repellent. Oh, my gosh, does it ever stink? But it's working. And so I'm going to use this deer repellent to stay away from my roses because I love the deer, but I'm not letting them eat my roses. So I don't know how I got. Oh, the owl. Well, so I don't know what you get about the owl. I was, when I first heard the owl, I was thinking the first
it's
thing
gonna
I was
going to eat the moles.
Oh, well, how is it going to get in the ground to eat the moles?
I don't know.
Oh, and then I found out, well, anyway, I heard the little hoot and I was thinking of those little pygmy type owls. That I always wanted to see those, and so I was almost thinking about going out into my backwoods and looking in the trees to see if I could find the moles, but I didn't have time to do that. But then I also remembered I had really connected and made friends with a barred owl at my farm when I had, any of you long-term listeners were around, you know, I had pigeon problems, and so I called on Mother Nature to bring something to take care of the pigeons, and I got a Cooper hawk and a red-tail hawk and a barred owl that came in and just wiped out the population, like, real fast. So
well,
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
I just Googled, do owls eat moles? Then they do. So you may have called in an owl to eat moles.
Hey. Well, moles, come out wherever you are and eat them up, owls. Eat them up. And then I found when I was out, because for the first time this year I had to go out and water some of the outdoor stuff, my honeysuckle and some of the lilies out in the yard, because it's been dry enough now that they needed some water. And I found a burrow, a den under, you know, a hole down and then, you know, two holes, so that there's usually when something burrows under, they have two holes. So there's an exit if they need to get out the back door. And I haven't found that in on my property before here. So I didn't get a good handle of what it might be. And I remember some kind of muskrat or something got under my house at the farm. So it could be one of those because it is kind of wet. But I thought it also could be a rabbit. Are you getting any hit on what it might be, Robin?
I get a real strong vibe on a rabbit.
That's okay. Cool. That's what I got when I asked. So. And I was thinking, well, rabbit, you're cool. Rabbits are cool. I don't think they eat moles, but maybe they poop in their. Well, I don't think they poop in their holes either. But
they're good at making lots of rabbits.
They are, and I have seen rabbits on my property. So
I'll Google: do rabbits eat moles?
No, they don't. Nah. Rabbits are vegetarians, but owls do. So come on in, owls! Woohoo!
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We've got emails pouring in, but I haven't had a chance to read them yet to find out if they're appropriate for us to address on the air. Let's see. Well, here's another little good news before we end this segment. I questioned this is good because I don't know if this is going to make any difference. And I think it's kind of like it's a good thing no matter what they're doing it for. But China axing shark fin from official events. China will ban officials from consuming shark fin at government expense. And I thought, hey, that's good. But then it says, within 3 years, part of an effort to reduce corruption. That's because they're spending money, I guess, the Chinese officials, on stuff they shouldn't. So they're going to 86 them on shark fins. But I guess if they're 86 in shark fins at all, that's a good thing. Don't you think?
It's just kind of the tone of the show. Things are happening, and they're happening slowly, but they're happening.
Yeah.
Shift is occurring.
Okay. Now, here's another. I have a question on this one. And this is Oregon Wolf Pack produces pups. And this is... Now, one of the Oregon wolves went down and crossed the border into California. Could be coming down to your neck of the woods. It's the Imnaha Wolves pack, and they've got pictures. It's just a lovely little picture. Do you see the three wolf cubs poking their heads out? And so the wolves are being reintroduced back into Oregon, which I'm wondering, is this a good thing or not? because things are a lot different now than they were when wolves were here originally. And we've seen the disasters going on in Idaho and Montana and over there, and nobody likes them and they're causing trouble. And even Dr. Al Pluckner, who loves wildlife, has done wildlife rehab, you know, his whole life. He was upset with the wolves because they were killing for the thrill of killing. They weren't killing just to eat, at least on his property in Idaho. And those stories were hard to hear. And some livestock were killed by a couple of wolves in Oregon, and the original setup with the ranchers was that they would kill wolves if they did this. And so the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife was getting ready to kill the wolves, and then activist groups sued. And now the killing has been suspended. And then one of the wolves in question went to California. I guess he was pretty smart. But so I'm just kind of questioning, Robin, are we getting a feel here on this reintroduction of wolves? Because it's happening here in Washington State. It's happening in Oregon. And now these four pups, each 6 weeks old, have been born. And I was just somewhere in here, it says what they need to do in order to be considered recovered and taken off the endangered species list, but I'm not finding that right at the moment. What does this feel like to you, Robin?
Well, I'm getting a lot of energy from the wolves in particular. Their presence actually is very strong in my energy field. And from them, I'm getting a feeling of gratitude. So if I don't look at it from, you know, balance of anything, from the wolves themselves, they're communicating that they're grateful. So
they're grateful for being brought back in.
Yeah, they are.
So it's good from the wolves' standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And the wolves are also telling me that they feel that things will come back into balance somehow, that humans and the wolf culture will learn how to be in more of a harmonious situation. So it's not like the whales where,
oh, okay,
you know, the ocean is like really an issue. They seem to be feeling like there's going to be some sort of harmony that will happen eventually.
Okay, because it says if all four packs have produced pups, that would be a major step toward the Oregon Wolf's Plan Phase 1 recovery goal of four packs producing pups 3 years in a row. Well, that's a pretty big expansion. Four pups, four packs, pups 3 years in a row. That's going to be a lot of wolves. But they're saying, you're getting, Robin, that they're saying that they will reach a balance.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, that's a good place there. Let's stay on schedule here and take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then we will come back with a quick current events, and then we'll get back to news, animals in the news, and emails. It's a Robin, Alexis, and Martha Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones and Company Pets at all of for all of their animal care needs. At Jones and Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. Jones and Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones and Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can call them at 360-658-7817. At Jones and Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And it's the second Sunday of the month. That means it's a Martha and Robin Sunday. Gifted Mount Shasta mystic Robin Alexis is with me. And before we get back to, we got a lot of good emails. And we got an email, a follow-up on this legal probate issue and pet euthanasia from our Animal World legal expert. She's an expert on all kinds of stuff, by the way. But anyway, we'll get to that. First, it is time for current events. Okay, speaking of entertainment, mark your calendars, and tickets are now available for the 15th annual Black Cat Ball that's benefiting Perfect Pals. Will be on October 27th at the Maidenbauer Center in Bellevue. Over 500 items in the silent and live auctions, champagne reception, and gourmet vegetarian or vegan dinner with wine. Yeah, Perfect Pals knows how to do these silent auctions and live auctions. One of my favorite ones over the years, because they start you with free champagne and then free wine with dinner. I mean, that's how you get people to open up their pocketbooks and spend their money.
That's called priming the pump.
That would be it. That would be it. And we, the last year that I attended, they two attendees got carried away over the cover of the calendar to have their cats on the cover, and they each donated. And I suggested, because they were bidding against each other, I said, do two calendars, nab them each. You know how much they bid? $25,000 each.
Good for them.
Well, then I thought, because I was concerned because Sarvey Wildlife Care Center was having, issues keeping their doors open and feeding the wildlife. So I said, well, how about you share some of that money? Since it was my idea to do two calendars, why don't you give some of that money to Sarvey? And they said, oh, we can't do that. Rules, rules, rules. Well, it was a burr under my saddle. So I invited the two women that got in the argument. I invited them onto Animal World to, you know, congratulate them and thank them for the good work with their animals. Well, then we started talking about Sarvey Wildlife, and they got into a bidding war, and guess what? They each donated another $25,000 to Sarvey Wildlife Care Center on the air.
That's incredible. Let's bring them back.
And they were not drinking either, okay? No wine in the studio here.
That's so beautiful.
We love stories like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool. All right, now speaking of Perfect Pals, this is a new promotion at Perfect Pals. You'll love the name of this, Robin. Vintage Cat Adoption Special at Perfect Pals now through July 31st. Reduced adoption fee for $50 for cats 7 years and older. They're calling them vintage cats. I think that's so cool. And so you can get a vintage cat for $50, and you can get a bonded pair of older cats for $75 instead of $150. And remember that if you've got an elderly person in your family that's lonely or needs an animal, a lot of times they don't have animals because they are afraid they're going to outlive them. Well, the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to do is rescue a vintage cat. An older cat, and then grow into all together. And all, when we get done with current events, we'll find out what Peg has to say about the probate and animals, because obviously that law needs some work, because you could send them all off together, but maybe not. But anyway, get a vintage cat, and they don't live as long. So they're perfect for vintage people. How about that? Okay, last day, missing pet partnership palled up again with Mission Unite at Regional Animal Care Services of King County. That's the animal control shelter in Kent, to help find lost animals from the 4th of July. And they're at the Kent shelter from noon to 6 p.m. They were there July 5th. 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's today. So today's the last day. So if anybody's listening, if you or anyone you know lost an animal during the fireworks on the 4th of July, they can go down to Regional Animal Care Services of King County at the Kent Shelter and get free help from noon to 6 p.m. today. This is also new for you cat lovers out there. Evergreen Cat Fanciers presents Show Cats Helping Street Cats. It's a 12-ring championship and household pet cat show, July 21st and 22nd at the Hilton in Bellevue. Be on Saturday and Sunday. The hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you've been looking for a place to go to see kitties. Remember, the New Moon Farm Goat Rescue and Sanctuary is presenting Goat Olympics Saturday, July 21st at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe. And Posado's Bark at Marymore Park is Sunday, August 19th. Save the date for Meow's annual Fine Wines and Felines. That's going to be on August 25th. And then the All Breed Equine Rescue Benefit Golf Tournament at Glen Eagle in Arlington is July 28th. Get all the details at www.marthanorwalk.com and click on Current Events. Then, remember, next week is the third Sunday of the month, and that means I'm going to Temple. So that means that Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will be hosting the show for me. Now, I can tell you in the first hour, they're going to be talking to Rebecca Rose, who's the president and CEO of InClover, who makes Optigest and Connectin. Going to learn all about those supplements. Plus, Rebecca will be introducing a brand new product by InClover. And I don't even know what it is, but if it's as good as Connectin and Optigest, you got to know about it because it's for our animal friends. That'll be the first hour of next week's show, and then they have open phone lines, so Kim, as a medium and animal intuitive, can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones either here or on the other side. And any of you folks that have emailed us or have questions about your animal friends, it's a great week to call in and get Kim's perspective, and then you can turn around and call me on the first Sunday of the month, which is Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me, and depending on what you found out, then I can help you figure out how to fix it. So there we go. All right, that wraps us up for current events. And gosh, Robin, we've gone through a whole second hour. So let's just wrap this puppy up and turn it right around. Stay right where you are, because Animal World will continue with another full hour. And I'm making emails priority. So, Robin, we got a fistful of emails we'll deal with next. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.